Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or GamblingHelplineMA.org.
B-Pod Studios.
Making the workday a little more entertaining.
Floppity flop flop flop.
It's Zoe and the Beetle on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Hi, Jones.
Oh, hey.
How you doing?
What's up?
Look at that beard you got going on there.
I know, it's not great. It's not great.
You enjoy that?
Yeah, it's I'm past the point where it's itchy.
Oh, no, mine had to go. Had to go.
I'm past the point
we got
where
another bearded guy in here today. Adam Jones in for Zoe.
Hardy wants to say something. I
no,
can just tell.
You haven't touched yours except you've shaved the neck.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah, I mean.
Yeah, a little up here because it comes in very, I don't know if you can tell or if the audience at home can tell. It comes in a little splotchy. It's not exactly the most full beard.
No, it's, I mean, if anything, I think it's too full. I mean, I took this down to a one this morning.
A one, yeah. I shave it down to a one. It's a bunch of nothing.
All right.
Okay.
Good coloring. No gray. No,
you also suffer from the same problem I suffer from, that the beard is a different color from the hair on your head.
Comes in light, yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know what that's about.
Yeah, red beard. I don't know what that's like, a condition. Yeah, you got the old red beard.
Is it like a recessive gene?
I have no idea.
Like a recessive red beard gene.
Between the red beard and that shirt, you are full Vermont hillbilly today.
It's true.
Look at you.
That is true.
Look.
FVH.
Full Vermont hillbilly.
Red and black, yeah. Lumberjack, yep. And the red beard.
Yep.
That's what he's rocking today. Mm. All right. Today is NBA trade deadline day. I know that we're kind of being thrown into this. I know you've probably been talking about it all week, Jones.
Yeah, I was over the Super Bowl pretty much the second it happened. So we were right onto the trade deadline, yes.
You probably were. You're probably not even kidding a little bit. Here's what I think has been the best recap for those of us who have not been paying attention to the NBA trade deadline and have been paying attention very much to the Super Bowl. And we'll get back to the Super Bowl today. Don't you worry. But I read this yesterday, and I felt like I was caught up to speed for someone who doesn't have the strong NBA trade deadline like interest that maybe I once had, because there's so much crap. I'm interested in what the trades are down. I am. Like, today will be great. Things will happen. Things have already started to happen.
Things have been happening.
Things are already happening. Like, there you go. Clock is ticking. But I don't think the Celtics are going to be major players today. Do you?
No.
No, they're not. And the big thing is Anthony Davis, which would not happen until the offseason if it happens for the Celtics. So Adam Himmelsbach wrote that as Thursday's 3 p.m. NBA trade deadline approaches, the Celtics are in the thick of the juiciest trade possibility of all, while simultaneously being stuck helplessly on the sidelines. Which is what I just said. Yeah, they love Anthony Davis. Can't do it now, though. He writes, the good news for Boston isn't that Anthony Davis remains a member of the Pelicans for now. And the longer that holds true, the better the Celtics' chances are of ultimately acquiring him next summer. Because of a rule that forbids teams from acquiring multiple players on designated rookie extensions, Kyrie Irving already became the first. Boston is unable to trade for Davis until Irving opts out of the final year of his deal at the start of free agency at July 1st. So far, the Lakers' offers have been rebuffed, and multiple reports have indicated that New Orleans has yet to make a true counteroffer. So the Celtics remain in the mix despite not being able to do much about it. And according to league sources, The Pelicans have reached out to the Celtics this week to discuss the framework of a possible Davis deal. Ostensibly, to ensure that if they pass up on other offers before today's deadline, Jones, it would be for good reason. They want guarantees from the Celtics on what they will trade them come July. Right now, in February, they want guarantees for what they will do 5 months from now if they do a deal. Is that a good thing or a bad thing for the Celtics?
I guess I don't see what the difference is. If you really want Anthony Davis and you can get the Pelicans to commit now, effectively, let you know that they're interested in your deal, I think that's a good thing.
It seems like a win.
The downside is you may offer more than you ultimately need to, right? Before you get a real feel of what's out there. But I would say it's probably more good than bad. Because, again, if you can effectively lock in Anthony Davis as much as you possibly can and know what the Pelicans want, I think that's mostly a good thing. The problem is I don't think they've locked in anything.
So according to this report, there are no specific players that will be off limits in the negotiations. Everybody on the Celtics roster is in play.
They should be.
According to this report. We'll get to that. We'll get to the should they be. But if they want to talk now about a deal in July, like to get it done right at the start of July, I think it sort of helps the Celtics because the biggest deals and you get the best return come July. If all of a sudden July shows up and the Pelicans say, okay, we're starting over from scratch, our phones are open, start calling us, start making the offers, and you're up against the rest of the league that might try and when I say the league, I don't think it's every team in the league, but a number of teams that would be in the mix, and that would be the Lakers all over again. You have a chance to sort of be leading the pack come July 1 for this deal.
Yeah, and there's the Irving part too, where if you lock something in, that helps you with Kyrie Irving in theory. So, yeah, I think it helps that you're ahead of the pack. It helps that you know what New Orleans wants. It helps with you to go to Kyrie. I mean, I think the Celtics could get him in the offseason. I think they could get him whether they have a deal locked in now or not. I think the trick is it all goes back to Kyrie. So they certainly have the assets to get him if they're willing to part with them, which I guess is debatable in some sections of the fan base.
Right.
And maybe it's debatable, you know, within their offices too. They certainly have the assets to get him more than anyone else if they're willing to offer them. The trick is Kyrie Irving staying, and does Davis want to come here without Kyrie Irving? It doesn't sound like he does. So to me, that's the real trick. It all comes back to Kyrie.
And on top of all this, Sam Amick of The Athletic reports that Jason Tatum has been the centerpiece in the discussions between the Pelicans and the Celtics. Jason Tatum would have to be a part of the deal, it seems.
Yeah.
Do you trade Jason Tatum if you don't know if Anthony Davis stays?
Yes. I do.
Without knowing at all?
I mean, I wouldn't say without knowing at all, but knowing that you have the track record here of ultimately convincing Kevin Garnett.
Yep.
Knowing that Oklahoma City, of all places, gambled and kept Paul George. We'll see with Kawhi Leonard in Toronto. I just read the other day he just bought a house in San Diego, so maybe it's not good for Toronto holding on to Kawhi Leonard. But I like the gamble that Toronto took. I thought that was a smart gamble that they took. I take that gamble. It's Anthony Davis. You're not rolling the dice on, you know, the next Isaiah Thomas. You're talking about a bona fide top five highly coveted player. So, yeah, I do that, and I try to sell him hard on Boston. And if you don't, you got some egg on your face, but I don't know.
Yeah, isn't that sort of a big egg that sort of screws you over? Like, if he leaves...
Aren't you screwed anyways?
No.
Yes.
You're in a better position if you have Jason Tatum.
Well, yeah, that's true. But are you, with just Jason Tatum, what are you doing?
You're with Jason Tatum, you still have... Well, this is where Kyrie Irving comes into the play, as well.
So
if the deal for Anthony Davis, this is where I'd say it is worth it.
If you keep Kyrie, you're getting Davis will stay. If you keep Kyrie.
If you keep Kyrie because he knows you're trading for Anthony Davis, then it's worth it to give up Tatum. That's worth the price to keep Kyrie and trade Tatum.
So this is the problem.
That to me is sort of worth the price.
It's this chicken and egg game where it's like, well, Kyrie wants Anthony Davis to be here and Davis wants Kyrie to be here.
Okay.
And at some point, you got to make a move.
What if you get to the end? What if you get to July and you know that Anthony Davis is still, and again, I know his dad has spoken out publicly about this, about Boston. If you know that he's still saying the same things about Boston, that he doesn't want to play there and he doesn't want to be there, do you still do that deal?
Yeah.
I don't know how you could. if he's openly telling you, I don't want to play for your team, I'll be forced to play for your team, but I have no interest in staying.
Okay, Paul George said the same thing about Oklahoma City. And yeah, he stayed in Oklahoma City.
But it's one thing to go from, yeah, not my choice, not a place I had on my list, to I don't want to go there. Like, I have you on my bad list, place I absolutely don't want to be. Isn't that hard to convince a guy?
I don't know. He's never been there. He's never played there. So get him in the organization. Let him see what the organization's all about. Yeah, maybe he changes his mind.
It's one thing to be ambivalent. It's another one to say, I straight out don't want to play in that town or for that franchise.
Kevin Garnett takes it to a new level.
Kevin
Garnett didn't want to. They got pieces around him. They convinced him to come here. Right? I mean, it's not unprecedented. And I think this player is worth that gamble. I do. I know Jason Tatum's a big gamble. I think this player is worth that.
It feels like too much of a gamble. It feels like you can't allow yourself to be left with nothing at the end of this. After, again, one season of Anthony Davis, and now you've lost Tatum, you've lost Anthony Davis, and we will assume, though, that you still have Kyrie Irving because you're making this deal. Because you've sold Kyrie Irving on staying because you're getting Anthony Davis.
Initially, I said no. If you're not going to have assurances that he's staying, but I feel like if he's here with Kyrie Irving...
For one season,
chances are he would stay.
Yeah.
The Kyrie-Anthony Davis playing together is going to be enough to make him want to stay.
I trade Jason Tatum in his long twos. You know, settling for his Kobe followaways, I trade Jason Tatum for a chance at Anthony Davis. Yes, I do.
617-779-0985. It is NBA trade deadline day. Adrian Wojnarowski had an update at 9 a.m. on SportsCenter. We'll bring that to you. We'll bring you the latest from the godfather of NBA news himself, Adrian Wojnarowski. The clock is ticking. NBA trade deadline today. Although I don't think
that's an egg timer.
So what?
Can the Celtics make any small deals? Is there a small deal for the Celtics out there?
I mean, real. Apparently, they're peddling, and I'm not a big fan of this. Apparently, they're peddling Jabari Bird and his rights.
Oh,
they're treating him like an asset. I guess they've been holding on to him for a reason.
Yeah, that leads me to believe they're not going to be getting any small deals done today.
Shimi Ogele, you interested in Shimi Ogele? Kevin O'Connor wrote he might be available today.
Oh.
But, if you're thinking real small, maybe something real small.
Real small.
But Danny Shock...
No, you can't trade Semi Ojeley. If you play Milwaukee in the playoffs, you need him to guard Giannis.
Jim's actually fired up about this.
Hot takes.
I am Superman.
Oh, yeah.
Wrong song. Oh.
Zoe and Beetle, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Look at all these rumors.
NBA trade deadline day. Adam Jones in for Zoe here on Zolak and Bertrand. 617-779-0985. Woj, my favorite NBA reporter, everybody's favorite NBA reporter, had an update on where things stand. This was about an hour ago on television on ESPN. Here he is.
The Lakers and Pelicans, there's been no communication here the last 36, 48 hours. New Orleans has not responded to the Lakers' most recent offer. The Lakers upped their offer, added more young players into their deal. They've offered two first-round picks, and this potentially would be a pretty big, complicated deal. There'd be a lot of moving parts, protections on draft picks, and the longer you go without talking, these are hard to put together quickly. So the Lakers' hope of finding a pathway to a deal for Anthony Davis, you know, has really waned the last couple of days. The Lakers have made calls on other deals. They checked in on Trevor Ariza in Washington to see if there was a way to get at him. Washington wants to keep him, re-sign him. You know, right now with the clock ticking toward 3 o'clock Eastern, it looks less likely than it has at any point in this that, at least with the Lakers, there's any deal. And right now New Orleans isn't down the road with any team, but, you know, deadlines cause teams to move and people to react. And so you never know what happens between now and mid-afternoon.
All right, that doesn't sound like that deal's coming together.
No, he was trying to save a little excitement leading up to the trade deadline there.
But that's not coming.
I never know. But
so if you want Anthony Davis in a Celtics uniform, that's a good sign. That's one of the things that needs to happen today. That deal needs to be dead, and it sounds like it is.
How does the Lakers not offer more than two first-round picks? Just give them the four they want.
If you're them and you're in that spot, you should give it all
up. Give them the picks. What are you doing? You got LeBron. Go get Anthony Davis. I don't get what – you need an extra pick? What are you doing?
And if you want to get good, your first-round picks aren't going to be worth anything.
Right. Bingo.
Like, yes. If you expect to be good, you have LeBron now.
And you can't wait for two more years. Let's wait another year, and LeBron will be a year older. I mean, LeBron's shelf life.
Right. What are you waiting for?
He's got plenty left, but it's not unlimited.
But that's good for Boston. Let them be stupid. You want Anthony Davis? Let them be stupid. My one fear about Anthony Davis is not being able to convince him to stay. That's my fear. And my fear is that 2 years from now, you don't have Kyrie, you don't have Anthony Davis, you don't have Jason Tatum, and you're back at square one.
What do you think the problem in all of that is, though? Because you think if the Celtics can get Kyrie to stay, Davis will come here and Davis will stay, right?
I think that Davis will, you'll have a far better chance of that happening.
See, I think he will. The problem is Kyrie. I think the problem in all of this is Kyrie.
But I also think that Anthony Davis solves the Kyrie problem. If you go to Kyrie, you know, at the end of June, it's like, hey, Kyrie,
I think they're talking.
Just so you know, next week, we're sealing the deal on Anthony Davis. And he's coming here.
See, I think they're talking. I'm not sure Kyrie wants to be here. So that's the problem.
What do you mean? Right now they're talking?
Yes, of course.
About an extension for when?
No, I just think they're talking about, hey, like NBA players, especially guys who played together for Team USA. We know this from LeBron and Bosh and Wade. We know this from, you know, Kyrie and all of his buddies around the league. Jimmy Butler, Anthony Davis is another one of them. Yeah, I think they all talk. They all communicate. Kyrie just called LeBron the other day, for God's sakes, and kissed and made up with him. So I'm sure he's talking to Anthony. Like, hey, Anthony, the Celtics may
want to... Oh, so you think Anthony Davis knows Kyrie doesn't want to be
yes.
here?
Yes.
So then no, then I'm out on all of this. Then what's that? What good is that going to do?
What do you mean? To still trade for Anthony Davis?
Yeah, to still trade for Anthony Davis. If he thinks Kyrie's leaving, obviously he would know what being year one if Kyrie's here or not.
I just actually try to sell him on a year here in Boston. He doesn't think he wants to be here. He's never played here. Kyrie has been here, and it doesn't sound like he wants to be
here. Do you have any
here.
Chance of keeping Anthony Davis yes. around without Kyrie?
I think so. You can pay him more money than anybody else. You're a good organization. Yes.
No, I don't know about that. That's a hard sell. So what are you selling him on?
I just told you. Yeah, more money.
Money.
They're a bad organization.
No, they're not a bad organization. Okay, they've never been a bad organization.
Those feel like two pretty big things.
But it's always been a hard sell, even when they've been a great organization with great ownership and a great facilities and all that stuff. They're not a bad organization. Why does Kyrie want to leave right now? So you haven't convinced Kyrie. Why are you going to convince Anthony Davis?
Because Kyrie's a flake. That's why. They're two different people. And I don't know. I think.
Do you know that Anthony Davis is not a flake?
I don't know that.
I have no idea.
I know that Kyrie is. I don't know that about Anthony Davis. So fair point. Maybe they have the same personality for all.
I mean, you could talk about selling Kevin. You could talk about, you know, Kevin Garnett coming to Boston and him really being sold on Boston and extending here and all that. But he came into a good situation with two other really good players on his team, and they won a championship in year one.
Yeah.
Is that going to happen for Anthony Davis?
Sure. You like Gordon Hayward?
No.
You like Gordon Hayward?
For Anthony Davis?
You like shelling himself Gordon Hayward? You like breaking down Al Horford? Those seem like nice pieces, no?
I'll tell you, Gordon Hayward really needs to change, needs to turn his game around and get back to being Gordon Hayward. Like any day now.
Tell you what.
That would help this situation in a big way, would it not?
Tell you what. If you play the Cavs every night, he'll be looking pretty good.
Stop it.
Play the Cavs all the time.
Don't be that sarcastic prick Jones that I know you can be.
Get the Timberwolves back on the schedule.
If he turns back into Gordon Hayward by the end of the season, that makes this situation a lot better for everybody involved.
Yeah, don't you think that's a major reason why Kyrie's like, ooh, maybe I don't want to be here?
Yeah, I do. I think that factors in. I also think you can go back the other way, where if he starts playing like himself again, all of a sudden you've got a much better team and you've got a much more attractive, you know, situation for anybody. Kyrie, Anthony Davis, whoever. All of that could be true. 617-779-0985. Tariq is in Boston. Tariq.
Fellas, how are you? Can you hear me? How you
guys
doing?
Listen,
you can't give up Tatum and all the picks. New Orleans, they know this is a rental.
I didn't say that.
So, to be honest with you, I would offer them, if you want Tatum, you have to take Gordon Hayward. Because then no picks, no young guys. You want to rebuild, you got to take both of them.
Yeah, I think they
so that way it gives us cap relief that we can go after a free agent.
Yeah, then you don't get Anthony Davis. So if that's your plan, then you don't get anything Davis.
You know what? I'm at the point now where I'm done playing chicken.
Okay.
I'm at the point now where I'm done playing chicken because what you have now is Danny's put all his eggs into one basket, right, to get Anthony Davis, and the guy says he doesn't want to be here. So there's other free agents, other options to do it, but to give everything up to do that is silly, especially if the guy that's doing it for is going to leave anyway.
All right, Tariq.
What? Someone left a stupid toy chicken in here, and T-Bone is back there sending me all these chicken-related puns.
So during the commercial, the guys from TV said, can you please move the chicken that's behind Hardy?
Wait, that chicken?
How many chickens are in here? Another one of those. So Tom and I, you know.
Oh, it's from PETA.
They're just going back.
It says, let birds keep their wings. Right. Go vegan. I'm sure this was like a pre-Super Bowl push. You know, don't eat wings on Super Bowl Sunday.
Right. We're just having a pun contest. I told him to pluck off. He told me to, you know, oh, that was an excellent pun. And, you know, so we're back and forth, you know, off the air. And then that guy starts talking about count your chickens, the eggs in one basket.
He said, I'm done playing chicken.
Why is TV so offended by the chicken?
I don't know.
What's wrong with the chicken?
Give me the chicken. I'm going to put it right here.
God.
Right there.
What are we doing? Can't have a chicken?
There we go. What do you think of that, TV?
Yeah.
What does it mean? Nothing. None of your business. That's what it means.
As Jones said, you do that, you're not going to get him. You're not going to get Anthony.
Tell them to take Gordon Hayward. They're like, fine, we'll trade him somewhere else.
Yeah, we'll just look for a better deal.
Then you don't get Anthony Davis. That's not how this works. You don't get to play hardball with the Pelicans. They have the leverage.
Right.
Let's go to Scott, who's in Charlestown. Hey, Scott.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good.
So what I don't understand is Ainge has been after AD for how many years?
Like all of his years on Earth? Yeah.
So why are we finding out now that Boston is just not a destination he wants to sign long term?
Good question.
And why would you, like, would he really cash in all of his chips on the small chance that he might change his mind?
I mean, look, I don't think he's going to cash in all his chips. I think the last caller was on to something when he says, you're not going to give up Tatum in a million. If Tatum's in the deal, I think there's not a lot else in the deal. You know, Tatum in a pick, Tatum in salary in a pick, something like that. I think where you're going to see a lot of moving parts is if Tatum somehow wasn't in the deal. It's Brown, it's Smart, it's a bunch of picks, it's Rozier, it's whatever else. I think if Tatum's in the deal, you don't have to throw a heck of a lot more into that deal. With 1 year left for Anthony Davis, I don't think so.
Well, it depends on what other teams are going to offer. That's part of it, too.
We know what the Lakers are offering. What do you mean? You know what the Lakers are offering. It's already out there.
But once you get to the offseason, that's when teams are moving a lot of parts and moving a lot of pieces, and it's easier to get a deal done. In fact, if the Pelicans trade Anthony Davis today, they're idiots. They shouldn't want to trade him today unless they get blown away with a ridiculous offer.
Yeah,
whatever that offer is that they get from whichever team offers it, if it's the Lakers or someone else, that same offer is going to be there in July.
I'm not totally.
And then they could try and up the price against other suitors.
I'm not totally sold on that. I generally agree with that, though. I generally agree that the best offer they can get right now, they could get in the offseason.
Yes. They could match.
But the wild card is everyone saying Dell Demps might lose his job, and he might want to try to save his job by making the deal now. And their ownership is in such flux with the Saints situation, the Saints owners and all that. The owners might not step in the way of them trading them.
Well, maybe. And maybe that'll just be a circumstance that leads to it happening. But that's not the best interest of the team. If you're an owner, you got to step in there and say that's in the best
interest of Dell Demps.
Yeah, right. That's Dell Demps doing what's best for him, not what's best for the Pelicans.
But
what's best for the Pelicans is waiting until the offseason.
But to me, you know, Tatum, salary filler, and like another pick, that's probably getting it done for Anthony Davis. Are you doing much better than that? Like, the Lakers can throw in a million picks and all their young guys. Which package are you taking?
Russ in Marina Bay writes this to us on email. He says, the Celtics need to pull Irving aside and ask him what he needs to keep him in Boston and effectively allow him to be the assistant GM. The NBA has gone past the point of players just wanting to go play where their friends play. The elite in the league want to build their own teams. Kyrie will not stay with his current team no matter how good they are. He was added to this mix. He didn't create it. I think there's truth in that.
Yeah, look who he learned from.
LeBron.
Yeah.
So as he claims that he doesn't respect LeBron and all that crap. Well, I shouldn't say that. He didn't say that. But he had to get out from under LeBron because he just couldn't take that. It's probably because he wants to be just like LeBron. Can't have two LeBrons.
Yeah. Well, you don't want to be under LeBron's thumb, but you want to have the power that
you
LeBron
want to be
has.
Just like him,
yeah.
though.
I mean, he threw all his young teammates under the bus. That's classic LeBron 101. So, yeah, I mean, who wouldn't want to be set up like LeBron? You get all the credit when things go well, and then you blame everyone else when things don't. and you get to pick and choose the roster. And then when all of a sudden you've got bloated contracts on the roster and you can't win anymore,
but I don't think this
you
is just,
bolt and you leave them in the lurch in the middle of the night. Who wouldn't want that? That's
but
awesome.
This is not just a Kyrie thing. There are plenty of star players in this league that want exactly that.
True.
They want what LeBron has.
Sure.
So if you want to appeal to Kyrie Irving, do you have to sort of appeal to those senses about making him feel like he's involved in choosing who's here and who's not?
You think that's a smart decision?
Probably not.
I don't think so.
But I'll tell you what's not smart. Watching him walk out the door, that's not smart either. So you've got to find that middle ground somewhere. You've got to make him feel like he's involved, like he's got to say. That's just what this league has become.
Yeah.
So if that's what it takes to keep star players, if that's what it takes to be an attractive destination, then so be it.
I think they.
How bad could it get?
I'd imagine they let him have a say. I could be very wrong about that, and that's just a complete guess on my part. I'd imagine they let him have a say. They use him as a sounding board. Hey, Kyrie, do you like this? Do you like that? How do you feel if we do this? But they're not going to let him call shots. I don't think they should.
Like, if he came in today and they were like, hey, what should we do? And he's like, trade Brown. And they just do it. I think you're making progress with Kyrie.
Yeah, you're making progress with Kyrie. I
trade Jaylen Brown. Okay, we will.
I don't think that's the way to do business.
No, but that's what it would look like.
Like, maybe if it's LeBron, and again, I detest LeBron, but LeBron's on his own planet as a player. I mean, Kyrie's really, really good, but he's not that good. Where you sacrifice everything in the organization for him, he's not that good.
Dan Shaughnessy is going to be with us today. I know that's big news for you, Jones, to be reunited with Dan today for a couple of hours.
Yeah.
The Dan Shaughnessy show reunited.
What do we got? A guest right in the first segment?
No, we're going to do the guest in this
guest segment. Guest
We'll do a guest at 11:36 with Dan. Sean Grandy will join us at that point. We'll talk some Celtics with him.
Nice. To make it a full blown Dan Shaughnessy show reunion, you will take point. You will do 90% of the talking and just kind of like run the Dan Shaughnessy show much like you did back in the day.
Zolak and Bertrand continues on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
We're going to have fun tonight.
Yes, we are. We deserve it.
Damn right.
We deserve it.
Damn right.
I haven't stepped out in like 8 months. I got to step out tonight.
I'm with you, man.
Yes.
I'm even going to step out.
Oh, I like it.
That's from Mic'd Up last night, NFL Network, Rob Gronkowski and Bill Belichick, ready to step out, ready to start partying.
I haven't stepped out in like 8 months. I got to step out tonight.
I'm with you, man.
Yes.
I'm even going to step out.
Oh, I like it.
I'm with you, man. I'm going to even step out.
Also have human emotions. I will step out as well.
Will you come back next year? I'll step out too.
Did you catch, I don't know if you caught it, did you catch sort of the interaction between Belichick and Gronkowski when they were standing behind the podium, you know, right near the flight of stairs that goes up to it? And it was sort of like this awkward.
Oh, yeah, when he's like, you're great. No,
you,
man.
It's just a little different from where Brady and Belichick are at right now, because they're at like the full-blown embrace, I love you, man. And there's still sort of this, no, you're the best, coach.
You're great, though.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah, I think, I mean, Bill, I don't know how much of you guys have been playing the audio the last couple of days, right? So I don't know if you played Bill, his, like, celebration after they won, but, like, Bill was going nuts. He was running around like a little schoolgirl getting ice cream with the ice cream truck rolling down the street, right? Like, just running around, skipping with pigtails, and I wonder if Bill didn't expect this. You know, I wonder if that's why he's acting giddy and he's talking about stepping out and just... Not saying that he even, you know, bet against the team, but just I don't think if you really asked Bill midway through the year, I don't know if he expected they'd be where they're at.
Right.
If
the year. The comp is 2001, and we know that when Bill won in 2001, I forget which book it was written in. It may have been Patriot Reign, but it was, I can't believe I won with this effing group. Like that was his reaction. He admitted it. Like I just couldn't believe we did it. You know, and so
I'm so great.
Yeah, I'm just a mastermind. I'm just
good. We're champions. We're the Patriots.
Like there was just this level of shock. Oh my God, we did it.
Yeah,
we do. And so I don't know if it was to that degree, but it may have been along those same lines. Like, wow, look at the run we put together.
That for Bill was giddy. I don't think he expected it.
You know, probably true. I think the players sort of showed that in Kansas City.
Yeah,
I don't think they expected it. And I think that, you know, based on the win there, they sort of let it all out there. But there's a lot that happened pregame. more to make Bill look like a mastermind, there was this confusion on the field about the roof. And I can tell you, Jones, that I was sitting in our booth at the game, and those in that booth can vouch that I was being very impatient, and I couldn't understand why the hell they weren't kicking off and why they were taking so much time to do the flipping of the coin. And I'm like, what are we doing here? What is this break? What? And Dennis, our engineer, looks at me and goes, will you just stop being so impatient? I go, yeah, I am being impatient, but something's wrong. Something's wrong. They're not moving. They're not doing anything. Or are we waiting on a TV break? Like, listen, man, 14 days of getting ready for that game.
Yeah, I can imagine.
I couldn't wait another minute for this game. I'm like, what is going on down there? Why are they not flipping the coin? Like, I was losing my mind like a crazed man. And so I think we got our answer last night. They're waiting for the stupid roof to close.
The roof.
So from the time the flyover was, which was at the very end of the anthem, the very end of Gladys, they start closing the roof after the planes went by. And they had to wait 8 minutes to kick it off. So they basically had 8 minutes to flip the coin. And there's no eight-minute TV break in there, so there was a lot of waiting around going on. And I think that was probably done by the league wanted to probably get this like masterful shot of the ball in the air and the roof closing at the same time. Listen to the referee, John Perry, talking to Bill Belichick, and Belichick saying, what the hell's the deal with the roof? Is this thing going to be closed up or not? Here it is. It's just more attention to detail.
So we're closing the roof, right?
Yeah. Supposed to be closed right at kickoff.
What does that mean? How about before kickoff?
No. They wanted to try to time the kickoff with the Oculus closing. I'm going to delay it a little bit. I would prefer that the roof be completely closed.
Because there's a wind factor now that...
As soon as the flyover goes, it starts to close. How long it takes, I think it's less than 8 minutes.
But also your work.
All right, so it takes 8 minutes to close it. They're going to close it after the flyover. I don't know if it's going to be closed or not, so... Why don't we just kick that
Let's
way?
Go that way. Say,
if we get it, we get it. Right. If we don't, we don't.
That way there's no last decision.
All right.
And that's Bill talking to Joe Judge at the end of that, telling him we're going to kick this way if we're just to negate whatever the wind is, whatever air is coming through
wind.
That hole
because
in the top of this stadium.
Wind.
I don't want to deal with it.
With a closing Oculus, you know, that wind can be forced through there
which
and it
way?
Become even more prominent.
I was worried about the wind getting all sucked out.
Any which way but loose, Jones.
What does that mean? How about we close it? I love that part. How about before the kick, there, boss?
What the hell does that mean?
His look at disgust. His look at disgust when Perry told him.
Yes.
Was just
because he knows
it was an A plus.
He
like,
knows
oh,
because
F
it was
this.
They were you know NFL Films had some camera pointed at the roof that they wanted to see the ball crossing as the Oculus came to a complete
but
close.
Can we?
That's what they were shooting for.
But Bill is being a bit of a hard ass here. Like the wind when they closed the roof.
Yes, Jones, the wind.
I remember Beetle when you were in the booth. Weren't papers whipping all over the place in front of you when they closed the Oculus? Oh, no, they closed the roof. Oh, my goodness. The ball's just going to go, like, what, 5 yards? Like, what are you honestly worried about, Bill? Like, chill out.
Wind.
Like, I get the attention
wind.
To detail, but there's wind? What, are you joking? There's no wind. You feel any wind when you were in the stadium? You were there. One bit of wind? Did you feel any?
I was not on the field when the Oculus was open. I was on the field pregame when the Oculus was open.
Papers everywhere. Make sure you bring your paperweights.
Let me ask you something.
All future games in Atlanta, bring your paperweights.
By the way, the Oculus, that thing moves.
Oh, does it?
It
8 minutes.
I mean.
How long did it take to close the old Sky Dome? That was like an hour.
Like 6 days.
Yeah.
You have to make sure you get it open or closed before the home stand
They watch
starts.
The news in the morning and they're like, oh, crap, we got eight hours to close this thing.
You look at it and go, look at how, you know, it's massive. And then when they flipped the switch to open it, and as it was opening, I'm like, that thing's moving at a pretty good pace.
You think it's just a switch on the wall? Like, open, close? They put a little, like, dino label maker up, down?
Like over on the wall.
Yeah, it's like these shades.
On and off.
It's like the button we have for the shades at the back wall of the
Well,
studio.
That makes sense. You go up, and the shades go up, but
yeah,
what
actually,
is open?
Hold on,
what is
I'm gonna,
up,
I'm going to go
open,
hit the button
is,
and see how long it takes for the shades to open.
Is up closed.
Hold on.
It's a good question.
Like two guys with the key at the same time turning it?
I think up is open.
Yeah, maybe it's like what Jim just said. Oh, here we go.
I don't think that's allowed.
How long are the? Yeah, that's really going to screw with all the light in here. That's like 10 seconds.
Now put the chicken on this table. You're really messing with it.
10 seconds.
You're going to have to you're throwing off the white balance.
The
Beetle, you can sit.
Yeah, see, okay. Here we go.
You can say whatever you want, Beetle. You were not on the field as the Oculus was closing, and the wind was forced through a narrower diameter. So you can't definitively say what the effect of the wind was.
There could have been some wind there, Joe.
No, have you ever seen Twister? It was just like that. They closed the Oculus, and it was like Twister out there.
Pretty sure I saw a cow.
Cows were blowing by. Yep. Helen Hunt was out there trying to grab all the pieces to their little machine to test out. It was wild when they closed the Oculus in there.
Zulak and Bertrand on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Follow these guys on Twitter at Zoe and Bertrand.
David Krejci spinning back in his own zone, and he gets the signal. Grabs the puck, skips over the line. Stick handles into the slot. Forehand shoots wide, and the New York Rangers have come from behind and beaten the Boston Bruins here at Madison Square Garden 4-3 in the shootout.
Got sort of a mixed bag today, Jones. Adam Jones in for Zoe. You're on Zolak and Bertrand. Discuss some Celtics, touched on the Super Bowl, and now we'll talk about the Boston Bruins with Billy Jaffe of Nesson, who joins us on the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline. Hi, Billy.
Hi, Beetle. Hello, Adam. Hello, Hardy. What's up today,
Hi.
Fellas?
Hey.
What's going on?
You sound a little tired today.
You know what? I had a great session, on-ice session last night. We had it off so I could do practice for the kids, and I just love yelling at them so much that my voice gets a little raspy after that. But otherwise, all good.
All right. Bruins last night losing a shootout at MSG. They sort of let this one get away from them. Your thoughts on the game and the result last night?
Yeah. In many ways, and I know a lot of people have discussed this, they're coming off two really strong, heavy games. The Capital game had a playoff feel to it on Sunday before Super Bowl. And then the Islander game didn't have, I don't know if it had a playoff game. No, it didn't have a playoff game feel, but what it did have, what it had a heavy feel to it, because the Islanders play a very, at sometimes almost reluctant style, three guys at the blue line, and they protect the front of the net, and they work their asses off to make you get through. And the Bruins had matched that and ended up getting the win there. Now you have a back-to-back, you come into the Rangers, and the Rangers aren't what you call physically brutal team, Beetle, but they can skate. They're a little chaotic, a little frenetic with a lot of young guys. And I don't know if the Bruins' mindset and legs were just there enough. They were in the second period after Bruce Cassidy tweaked up the right wings on the lines, which is a move that you and I, we've talked about at length on your show throughout the season, that, you know, I'm in favor of seeing more of that, especially Pastrnak with Krejci. And I thought the Bruins did a nice job there. But third period, they had some chances. Heinen had a chance, couldn't score. And then the Rangers, once they got that first goal off the stretch pass that led to the Hayes goal, it was just like, uh-oh. Here we go, and I think the Bruins are a little tired there. While it's nice they got the point, I'm with fans. I'd love to have seen them find a way to hold on to get the 2 points, and they didn't.
So wouldn't a way to help you hold on and get the 2 points, and I understand I'm now fixated on the shootout, and it's just, you know, it's a skills competition at the end of the game. Yeah. Wouldn't a way to do that be to use Patrice Bergeron instead of some of the other guys they rolled out there?
You can second-guess that stuff all day long. You ask any coach. It usually comes down to a few things. One, who maybe the goalies or, you know, they use Bob Essens, a goalie coach, who also tracks some of that stuff. And Bruce Cassidy has instincts, and the goalies a lot of times will tell the coaches. I'm just saying the Bruins. I'm not saying on all teams. They'll use guys like that. It becomes a bit of a crapshoot. It does. I mean, yes, it's easy to say use Bergeron, and you would have thought – but there was some gut instinct that says not to, or they didn't get to him yet. You know, they played hunch in the past, and it's worked. And they played hunches also in the past, and it hasn't worked. I hate the shootout. I still hate it. I hate it's really rolling the dice when it's all said and done.
All right, Billy, what should the Bruins' approach be at the trade deadline with this team? Should they be buyers? Should they look to improve their team? Should they even consider selling if they were to get some offers for some of their pieces? What should they do?
Well, I don't think they're going to sell, per se. Are they going to move some assets that they have? Yeah, Beetle, they should consider improving their team. I'm not ready to say, you know, sell the farm, so to speak, for one player. And I know there's been talk out there about Artemi Panarin, for instance, from Columbus. You just don't know if you're going to sign him. And while that's different than Rick Nash, and by the way, Rick Nash, I'm fully convinced, would have re-signed with the Bruins if he had stayed healthy. But that's a whole nother if, you know, off on the side's conversation. But Panarin, it just doesn't feel like there's any chance, Beetle, that you're going to sign him. So do you give up the farm to get him? I just don't think you do. Now, I'm not against them making a move. They have too many left-shot forwards. They have to move one of them, I would think, to get some asset back. And I'm not against moving one of their D-men, perhaps, in the minors. And I'm not against moving a high pick, not a first-rounder, though. I just think they need to keep that. The team, as it is constructed right now, it doesn't feel like it would go, you know, for a long playoff run. But I'm always cautious, and I'm always hesitant to say, give it a little bit more time. I'd like to see him make a move before Feb 25, which is the trade deadline. I'd like to see him do a move sooner rather than later, because I think there's this vibe around the team right now that they know that they need something, a little something to get going. And I wouldn't mind that, and you might save yourself on some prices. But I also wouldn't be shocked if Donnie did a move before and then at February 25th if he can add a depth center to his lineup.
When you look at the way that McAvoy's played, and he took a silly, regretful penalty late in the third period last night, which tied the game up. It's part of the reason that, you know, you went from 2 points to one. Mm-hmm. How do you think he's played, especially since he's come back? How do you think McAvoy's been playing?
It's been okay. It's been inconsistent. You know, it's funny. Adam, I was looking at some stuff. I'm just starting to get very initially prepared for Saturday and Sunday's games, and you know, last year, Charlie McAvoy, if I remember correctly, didn't even hit 70 games. Remember, he had the heart ablation. He had, I think it was like 62, 63 games. But he had 32 points. And this year, he's only one goal and 12 points. And a lot of people talk about the Bees' offense not being good, the forwards. But your offense, and Barry Peterson and I always talk about this, Barry especially, your offense starts from your defense. We all know that, right? McAvoy, he just doesn't have that same vibe where he turns the net and it's a beautiful scene when his jersey's flapping. And remember last year, and he turned and he would go up the ice. We haven't seen nearly as much of that. It's been inconsistent since he's come back, where you have moments of McAvoy-ness where you're like, yes, there he is. He's winning battles. He's taking it up. But he hasn't seemed to have the same amount of puck touches, the same amount of puck control, and at times the same amount of overall dominance. I still think he's battling back from his injury. I think he's still in the sense of maybe he doesn't even feel it, Adam. But it's just one of these kind of subconscious things where he's not there. He's too good, at least in my eyes, that you've got to let him play through this. That doesn't always mean it's going to be easy. His last 5-6 games, if memory serves correct, he's hit 24, 25 minutes in like 3 of his last 6 games. So maybe his legs are coming back. Now we need the whole game to come back.
All right, Billy Jaffe from Nessa. Billy, appreciate the time as always.
Gentlemen, a pleasure. Nice to have you back in town too, Beetle. And you, Hardy.
Thank you. Not so much, Joey.
You're welcome.
You didn't go.
See you guys. See you, Adam.
Okay. All right. Billy Jaffe from Nesson.
Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or gambling help. Line MA.org.